two brother goats and used to have a
Okay. What color is he?
Orange. He's an orange
hero. Nice.
He woke me up yesterday to I was in my room. So usually Dylan gets up at 6 o'clock. I don't know what play on the
room.
But she just opened the door. Like an hour later. He just woke me up, and then he didn't say anything to me. Literally, I was sleeping, he hopped on the end of my bed, walked up to me, and he was putting his tail in my face, and then he woke me up.
Joy at the works of your hands. So a friend of Steve who is still in breast cancer. So Steve has his friends, so please Steve and his friend in prayer. Are there other joys or concerns this morning? I guess it's a great joy. We had some rain last night and sunshine today and just for everything God is doing. And so we have a lot to be thankful for this morning as we come before Him. So let us go to God and let us pray together this morning. Lord, we come before you now. Thanks, God. We give you thanks for bringing us here in house of worship. We give you thanks, God, for just allowing us to be called your children. Thank you for redeeming us, giving us. Thank you for loving us, never giving up on us, always being there for us. Thank you for calling us to join you where you're working at, Lord. We thank you, God, just for the rain and the sunshine. We thank you just how everything works together. We thank you, Lord, for being able to get so much done yesterday with the feeding the flowers, God, just to make sure that we take care of your reach that you've given us here at Columbia Baptist Church. We restore to this, God. So God, we come before you this morning, and we want to just lift up before you Bonnie Campbell as she continues to recover from surgery, or that you would be with her. But we pray for Charlie as he goes for a second opinion on Tuesday. We pray for Steve's friends and the breast cancer, Lord. Lord, you know how to meet their needs, and so we come now and we lift up to you, and we ask God that you would meet them where they're at. Give them strength and peace, and just allow them to know that you're with them each step of the way, walking beside them. And so, Lord, we come now before you. We offer ourselves to you this morning. We ask that you pour out a special blessing upon the offering and the blood that will continue to go to minister to individuals here in Columbia, Lord. Thank you for our Wednesday night meal. Everything that went into it, the preparation from the folks, the volunteers, you're serving it, the individuals who have come, Lord. And we pray for this Wednesday night to you, God, that you would just be with the deal of preparation, the volunteers, and the individuals on the coming as well, Lord. Thank you for that opportunity to be able to meet people where they're at and serve them, Lord. We come now, Lord, and we ask that you would be with us now, that your spirit would pour out upon us as we continue to come and prepare ourselves, Lord, for the word. We continue to look to you this morning, that your spirit might speak to us in that small, still voice. And amen. We pray. Amen. You can remain seated if you want. You can stand up if you want. You can lift your hands up to the Lord if you want. As we prepare our hearts for one more song before the sermon this morning, let us just come before the Lord, our God, our Maker. Let us just give him praise.
Jesus and His love.
together, and we're so thankful to have this each week that come and participate in the praise team. So thank you for doing that. Without your help, each week participating in that, we will have anything we have. Thank you for giving the time to be a part of that. Let us pray together this morning. So we come before you now, we ask that you open our hearts and minds and ears that we might hear you speak to us today. Pray the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Well, this is our second week in a three-week series on being fishers of men. And we had talked last week that in Matthew, when we looked at the scripture, when it said, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake. Caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. They sat down and collected the good fish in the baskets and threw the bad away. We talked last week about the separation of the good and the bad fish. We talked about how when Jesus came and died on the cross, rose again, that was a net that Jesus was casting for us so that we could make a choice to be accepted into heaven. And so today I want to take a deeper look now into the disciple response as far as what they did when Jesus invited them to follow him. What can we learn from their response? What can we learn about their faith as we look at individuals that we can engage with during our lives and our daily activities? And what is that broader implication of spreading that kingdom net that God has asked us to be part about? Last week we talked about how that net gathers up as many people as possible, that God does his part, we're to do our part, which is to make a decision to follow him. And once we follow him, our job is to go and share that good news and try to keep as many people in the net as possible. This morning, if you have your Bible or your few Bibles, get on your phone at BibleGateway.com. We'll be looking at Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20, and we'll be looking at the response that the disciples gave to Jesus when he said, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So let's look this morning now at Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, brother Simon, casting a net in the sea. They were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat, and the hired servants, and they follow Jesus. Just a few things this morning. In verse 17, we find that Jesus invited Simon and Andrew to be a part of what he was doing, be part of his ministry. So he extended an invitation to them and said, "Hey, if you want to come along and join me where I'm working." That same invitation that God gives us today, it says, "If you want to join me where I'm working, I extend that same invitation." Verse 18, it says they followed Jesus because they wanted to learn more about him and to experience his personality. That after God extended his invitation, they have what we call a crisis of belief, where they had to make a decision. Do we stay in the boat and continue to fish, or do we make a change in our life? Do we go and follow Jesus and learn more about him and who he is personally? Same happens to us. God says, "Will you join me where I'm working at?" Then we have a crisis of belief, and we have to make a decision. Are we going to join God where he's at? Are we going to make that change? Or are we going to stay where we're at currently? And in verse 20, we see that James, John, Simon, and Andrew made adjustments in their life to join Jesus, the work he was going to do. They left everything to follow him. So when he gives us the invitation to join him, we have that crisis of belief, what I'm going to do, and then we either do it or we don't do it. And if we do it, then we're making a change in the course of our life that will change who we are forever, because we'll begin to move in the direction and join God where he is working at, making that adjustment in every part of our life to follow Him. The invitation that Christ gives was not a flash invitation. He didn't mail a wonderful invitation to them. He didn't come to them and hand them a glossy handout with no fireworks. There was no grand stage. He just gave them a very simple invitation. Come and follow me. When Jesus said, come and follow me, he didn't make a lot of promises. He didn't say, hey, come and follow me and you'll have a good life. He didn't say, hey, come and follow me and you'll be rich and wealthy. He didn't say, hey, come and follow me and you know what? Here's how it will benefit you. You know, it's interesting because if you are looking for a new position or new job in this world, the company always tries to give you a good pitch of why you want to join them. If you join us, this is how it will benefit you. Or if you do this, this is how it will benefit you, whether it's looking for a new job or you're buying a product of some sort, buy our product, because here's how it will help you benefit. Jesus didn't do that in his pitch. He said, come and follow me. There was no promises in it. There was no how does this benefit you. Just come and follow me. And you have to think about this for a second. If you were in Simon and Andrew's shoes, what would you do? Would you have just dropped everything and followed Jesus? Would you have asked more questions? Okay, Jesus, exactly what do you need to follow me? Be a pack of clothes. How long is this following going to take? Are we going to be away for a long time? Jesus, why should we follow you? Maybe Peter and Andrew and Simon and James and John wanted to ask those questions and want a little more information, but they didn't do that. Maybe, you know, they said, hey, well, what if I call a friend and talk to my friend? We all talk about this together, and then we'll come to a decision later. Jesus. That's not what happened. It said that they followed him immediately after the invitation. The whole scene here doesn't make sense to them. Why would Jesus come along and these fishermen or fishing boat just get up out of the boat, leave everything they know? Why would James and John just leave their father in the boat with servants and get out and leave their entire life work? If you read this passage, it doesn't make much sense. Okay, Pastor Tom, Jesus called them, and they gladly got up and they followed him. Right. Well, that's why you have to dig deeper in the scripture, in the gospels, to get to the whole story. Now let's go to John this morning, chapter 1, verses 35, 40, and 42, and you're going to see why they got up and they followed immediately. It says, the next day, John was there again with the two disciples. This John is John the Baptist that's being spoken of here. So the next day, John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. Here's where it's going to start to make sense. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of those two disciples of John the Baptist who had heard what John had said and would follow Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah that is the Christ. Welcome, Jesus. So we see here that before Jesus came on the scene, that John the Baptist was foretelling, behold, the Lamb of God comes, repent and turn away from your sins. And he had his own disciples. And Andrew was one of these disciples. And the day that John the Baptist encountered Jesus, he proclaimed as one of two of the disciples, this is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And Andrew had an introduction to Jesus that day with John the Baptist. So he goes back and he tells his brother about what happened. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you who I encountered today. But John proclaimed Jesus. And he points Andrew to Jesus and saying, stop following me, start following him. And Andrew went then from following John to following Jesus. Andrew's spirit was now open to the fact of what God wanted him to be need to go back to the view last night, that last week for the net being cast. You have two boats that never spread from two boats. So you probably have Andrew and Simon, James and John, and the other boats. And so they probably were having this conversation while they're fishing, that Andrew was telling all of them about his experience and who Jesus was. So they already had an invitation, a little bit of knowledge about Jesus when he came on the scene to invite the problem that Andrew shared about his experience. Now, Jesus comes now with his blind following that he's got on a boat. They were like, this is the guy, Andrew, you've been telling us about? This is the one? And so when Jesus says, come and follow me, they get out of their boats because they want to see more about Jesus because of what Andrew had told them about Jesus. That Andrew had invited them into the invitation and saying, you know what, if Jesus comes along, you don't want to miss out. He comes along and they follow Jesus because the invitation that Jesus gave them that was set up by Andrew building a relationship with his brother and his workers, James and John, personally inviting them to be part of things. You see here, I think the gospel is very clear that when we look at this, that they had no idea who Jesus was at that point in time until John proclaimed this. Not to mention that if you're in the Galilee community, it's a very small community like Columbia. And you know how word travels fast here in Columbia about things. Think about being in Galilee and word travels fast about who Jesus was. So people knew about Jesus, the trading post, the fishing stations. And so when Jesus shows up in front of them and says, come and follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, they were ready to go. But the Apostle Paul, that in 1 Corinthians 11, 1 says, follow me as I follow Christ, they followed because of the invitation that Paul gave them. See, when we think about this invitation, it's not just saying, hey, well, let's invite somebody to church. We have to prime that invitation up. Just like Andrew primed his brother and James and John, he's told about what Jesus was doing. He told them about God, what was going on, and how he experienced God. And then, when Jesus came and gave him life, they followed him. The same way in our Christian life, that we want somebody to join us here at Columbia Baptist Church, so that we can come together and connect with each other and connect each other to Christ. And it starts out with that relationship. Meeting them where they're at. Telling their stories. Telling them about who Jesus is. And then as that relationship grows, then you invite them to church. Or you invite them, hey, watch the live stream. Things happen when we build relationships with each other in our communities. And then we extend that invitation. And they're going to know more about God because they've heard from us personally. See, this is not just about pulling like a church or activity. This is about us investing in people's lives and building relationships with them. Whether it's a phone call, whether it's taking them out to eat, whatever it might be, sharing about Jesus like Andrew did, so that when the invitation is given, you say, come and see, as John says, come and see, they'll want to do that because they've learned from us first. You know, it was a wonderful meal this Wednesday night. We had about 30 men from the recovery room of Blueprints at Cherry Street, and it was a great time. They came in, and they were so grateful, and they were very appreciative. I don't think I've gotten so many hugs from 30 men in my entire life that I got Wednesday night. It was just amazing. I mean, hugs from guys that were like 6 foot and whatever. I'm looking up to them like, okay, you're there. Go ahead. I mean, intimidating people when you look at them. A heart that's open, a soft heart, a comfortable heart, a heart that says, you know what, I'm here, man, I want to serve. When they came in, the first thing they said was, Pastor Tom, can we help serve? Pastor Tom, can we go? What can we do to help you? I said, no, this is about you being here. We're here to serve with you. Thanks for coming. And they were so appreciative that we invited them to our Wednesday night meals, that we invited them to be part of things. Because everything that they experienced in their life, all the things you're going through, to bring your life back together, it was so nice for them to know that a church wanted them to be in their doors. That a church cared about them so much to extend an invitation about, hey, come to a meal. Let's build a relationship. Let's get to know you. It was great sitting around and talking to each of those guys, like hearing their stories and where they're at and where they come from. And they would say, Pastor, you know, I'm getting out of the program and about maybe a week or two. You know, would I be able to come to your church? And I looked dumbfounded at first. I was like thinking to myself, well, why wouldn't you be able to come to my church? And they said, no, Pastor, because some people, once they find out who we are, they'll want us in the church. I was like, no, of course, you're welcome to be in our church. Come. You get out of the program, our hands are always open. And they said, Pastor, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You don't know how much this meal appreciates the fact that every room is filled. People find out who you are, they're like, oh, you're one of them. It was so nice to be like a real person, to be treated like a real person, to come and have conversations with people who treated us as equals and didn't look down on us because of what we're going through. Because our lives were touched. Why? Because an invitation was given to them. An invitation of, hey, you know what? We got this Wednesday night deal going on in our church. We would love the Blueprint Recovery Homes to be a part of it. No strings attached, just come and join us. And they came and they met with us, they ate with us, they worshiped with us when we had a time of worship together. They gave the prayer concerns. And I'll tell you, man, I was very touched on Wednesday night by those men and the hearts they had, from where they're going, coming from, the struggles they had, to how appreciative they were that a church wanted them. That is what following Jesus is all about. It's about building those relationships with people. It's about building those bridges. It's about inviting them to things. It's about saying, hey, why don't you come? Why don't you join us? It might take a while. It might take a week, a month. I've been trying to get Blueprints to come for a year to our Wednesday night meals. And it finally happened after several meetings and trying to get them to be a part of things. So sometimes it takes a while. It doesn't happen overnight, folks. But that's what God has called us to do, is to join Him where it's at. To put the time and energy in to extend the invitation. You see, if we want God's kingdom to grow, we have to invite people to be a part of it. We have to invite people who don't go to church to be a part of it. That means we have to meet those people where they are at. Hear their stories. People that are different than us. That we come to them and we say, hey, how are you? And just introduce ourselves to them. That's what it was when we were disciples. They wanted to come and see. People are not going to want to come and see who Jesus is if we are not telling them about our experience we have with Jesus. If we don't tell them how good Jesus has been to us, if we don't tell them in the midst of our struggles how good Jesus has been to us, if we don't tell them how God has picked us up when we were down, then they're not going to be able to know. And they're not going to overcome and see who Jesus is. God opens many different doors if we are able to see where God is working and joining Him where He's at. Extending that invitation, like John said, come see who Jesus is all about. The gospel we know is the good news. Good news of sharing. Good news of saying, let me tell you who Jesus is, but you know what? We don't do that as Christians, we do it at times. But we have good news in other areas of our life. We'll share that, right? If we have a grandchild that's just born, we'll say, hey, I'm going to call my friends, we'll put it on Facebook. I just got it. Grandchild. I'm really excited to have a grandchild. You know, you get a promotion at your job. You tell people, hey, I'm really excited. I just got promoted at my job. Or if we're taking a trip somewhere, you know, let me tell you about my vacation I just had. Let me tell you about the good news I experienced on vacation. You see, we are quick to share the good news about the things that happen in our lives. Things we enjoy, our positive experiences. But we have a hard time sharing the good news with Jesus. So why is it that we don't do the same when it comes to the good news of Jesus? Why is it we don't go and share that good news of Jesus and say, let me tell you about who He is and the good things He's done for me, just like we do in every area of our life? I think that good news is more worthy of sharing at times than what we do in life and the the excitement we have about the things we experience in life. It's just a great reminder that we need to go and continue to spread that net. Share pictures with Jesus. You know, I don't know about you, but we'll pull out our phones, right? And we'll say, hey, let me show you a picture of my grandchild. Let me show you a picture of this. Or let me show you a picture of a new cat that we just adopted. Or whatever it might be, right? We're quick to show people pictures of our experiences in life. But yet, we don't do the same when it comes to Jesus. That we won't share those pictures of Jesus in our life and how he has changed us and characters. We won't pull out our cell phone and show, let me show you this week about how God got me through this week. And paint pictures for individuals to see about how good God is. But we're so quick, and I'm guilty of it too at times, and say, hey, let me share this with you. And we're not doing the same when it comes to God. You know, sometimes we think we're like screening for God's kingdom. Well, we'll screen who we think we can share with. Well, this person, I don't know, they don't seem comfortable, so I'm not going to talk about God. Well, this person seems okay, so maybe I'll bring up something to God. And sometimes we act like those your screening agents at the airport, those wonderful transportation security agents that screen us. And so many times we come to gospel, we're like gospel screeners. And we determine, well, who we're going to share with and who we're not going to share with. God says, no, I'm giving you an invitation to come and follow me. Christ is a belief. Join me where I'm at, and if you will, you'll make a change in your life so that you will go and you'll be more than apt to share the good news and follow me wherever I'm going. Think about the disciples who used to call. They were unpolished people, folks. The people that were gathered together that people would say, you're following Jesus? You don't look like a follower of Jesus. You don't seem to fit that mold. But think about the group that Jesus called. How about Peter, the uneducated Galilean fisherman? Peter was called. And what did he do? He constantly put his foot in his mouth. He was quick to react and less to think. But Jesus called him. And the midst of everything that Peter did was on vacation in his mouth that he had been shut off so many times. God still used Peter. Build his kingdom, and we are here today because of Peter, because on that rock of Peter, he built the foundation of his church. We are here today because of Peter. Because Peter got the invitation, he had a crisis of belief, he responded to that crisis and changed his life. Even when he failed, he messed up, denied Christ, he still made those adjustments so that we could be here today. Because Peter gave the invitation to the book of Acts to say, come and see. Come and follow. How about Zacchaeus, the tax collector? He was unworthy, but yet he heard about Jesus. He climbed up a tree because he heard about Jesus in the crowd. Who's this Jesus we're talking about? I want to see him. I want to experience him because I've heard a lot about this Jesus. How about Matthew, the tax collector, who betrayed his own people, the Jewish people, to collect money from the Romans? Matthew said, I heard about this Jesus. You know what? I got a nice Christian life. I got all the money I need. I got a nice house. I got room protection. I got everything I could ever ask for. But I'm going to come and see because I've heard about him. And Matthew left, changed his life, and we have the genealogy of Jesus because of Matthew. How about Mary, who was bestowed for her sin? She's a prostitute. The law says you must stone her, and Mary changed her life. And Mary became one of the most faithful followers of Jesus. Because she was so grateful for what Jesus had done for her. That Jesus said, you who are about to say, you who have to come. See, people like us that are unqualified, God calls. And even in the midst of our failures, in the midst of our successes, people want to know. And they don't know unless we tell them. Matthew 16:18 tells us that he is building our kingdom up. That he is building, he's ready. And Revelation 7:9 again tells us, after this I looked, and there were before me a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And the kingdom of God is not going to just be for those of us that are here on Sunday morning. The kingdom of God is for everybody. He You know what was so great is Mary, who comes from Wednesday night, you know, she met a family from Peru. They came to the field on Wednesday night, and they had just been approved. They've been in the U.S. approved for about 2 weeks. They didn't have stuff. Mel and I were listening, hearing their story, and their daughter was the interpreter because they only spoke Spanish. And we began to kind of see how maybe we could help them. And so we were able to gather some things for them that they needed. And they came and they toured the church later on in the week just to kind of see what it was like. And they were so appreciative because you know what? They are individuals that were needed of God's people's help. Now we could have said, well, you speak Spanish, you speak English, thanks for coming, we appreciate it. I don't understand what you're saying, so we'll hopefully see you next week. But we try to break down that barrier if we can understand it, because God says this kingdom's for everybody, even if you don't understand what they're saying at times, you try your best to understand what they're saying. Because God's kingdom is going to be full of everybody. God's kingdom is going to be full of those that we don't think are worthy to be in God's kingdom, and those of us that say, well, you might think them all be in God's kingdom. That there'll be so many people in God's kingdom that will be amazing. But they won't know unless we share our story. Isaiah 49:6 says, I will make you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the end of the earth. That we are that light, as Matthew would say, the light of the world, the city set on the hill. That in and through Christ, we know that invitation is to all. No pre-screening, no value assessments of who you are, just the good news of the saving faith and what happens. And as a result, people make a decision, like Peter, Simon, James, and John, to come and follow him. The Gospel of Mark highlights the fact they immediately left and responded to the invitation. They had to give up something, though. So what is it today that we are going to give up to respond to God's invitation to come and follow him? What is it? Is it our false expectations that we have of things? Is it that we're afraid to feel uncomfortable about talking about our faith? Are we afraid to talk to others who might not look like us or act like us? Are we afraid to maybe give up those fancy, comfortable things of this world that we really like and want to hold on to because they make us feel good? Are we afraid that we're going to have to give up something in our life that we don't want to? What's keeping us today from knowing and loving others and being part of God's kingdom? What is keeping us today? We all have something. What's keeping us from sharing our faith? You know, when it comes to Jesus, we would answer the call. I don't know about you, but I'll look at my cell phone and I'll see who's calling. And if I don't recognize the number, I'll let you know the voicemail and listen to the voicemail. Many of you probably do the same thing. But I guarantee you, if each and every one of us looked down on our voicemail and said Jesus calling, we would not let him know our voicemail. We would pick it up and be like, oh, Jesus, is that you? Jesus, is that really you? That we would respond right away if Jesus called our cell phone. That we wouldn't put it aside for later and say, I'll listen to the voicemail about what Jesus wanted. We would pick it up because Jesus is calling us directly, and we wouldn't know what he says to us. But so many times, so hesitant to respond to this call in our life, just the way we are as Christian qualifiers. Our job is to simply extend the invitation. Some respond in days, months, years. That's okay. We just keep working at it and let God work on it. It's our job just to wait. We need to drop the nets, get out of the boat, and start following Christ. Inviting people along the ride of following Jesus. It is the most amazing challenge, the most difficult challenge we have to face. Following Jesus can be difficult. Adele Dabler got moved from the invitation of God to strike at this night. He says, my experience with following Jesus indicates that it can be more difficult than me. Following requires humility, risk, attention, awareness, and guts. It means serving someone else's agenda and following their needs. Following requires that I let go of my own way and now I trail the leader. But everything in me resists trailing behind someone else, especially when I think I can make my own way or lead just as well. Following a great length of time says both character instead of fastness. It's harder to be a follower than a leader. And folks, God hasn't called us to be leaders, He's called us to be followers. Laying down our agenda, our hopes, our dreams, our expectations, being humble, and following Him. Dropping the nets, stepping out of the boat, answering the call, and sharing the good news. See, we are doing that in so many ways here, but there's so many that have heard it because we haven't told them, inviting them to come. So I want to challenge all of us this week. Think of that one individual, one person, and you might still start building a relationship with, start cultivating a relationship with, and just start saying, hey, you know what? Let me tell you about my life and how I came to know God. You know, it's funny because I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my youth pastor. I went to church all my life as a kid. I went to a Christian school all my life. You know what? But I still need an invitation from my youth pastor to come and see who Jesus was. I went to church. I knew about Jesus. I went to a Christian school all my life. But yet, my youth pastor said, I know you've done this. I know you can do all that. But why don't you come and see for yourself personally? And it wasn't because of anything else. It was because of the invitation he gave me and said, you know what? Why don't you come and give it a try? I went to youth group, I hated youth group, I didn't want to go to youth group because my parents made me go. I was tired of going. I would go on retreats. I went to reading because I was sick of church. And my youth pastor said, why don't you come and see what happens on these different events? And I bet you, you'll be surprised about what really goes on. And I bet you, he said, you'll be surprised about this Jesus that you think you know all about. I memorized all about catechisms. I had Bible class every day in school. I knew everything there was to know I thought about God, but I didn't experience it personally because it was all head knowledge, not personal knowledge. And it wasn't until my youth pastor came and saw me in my house and said, come and see. And I bet you would be surprised at what you've done. And here I am today because of him, because that personal invitation that he gave me said, you might think you know what it is to follow Jesus, what it entails, but you really don't unless you come and experience it personally. Putting away those expectations. You see, Jesus has put a call on our life today. He's given us an invitation. Are you going to join me or I'm working? Christ is a believer. What are we going to do? And then are we going to make the change in our lives to join God where he's working? Because I tell you what, folks. Blueprint recovery is an awesome indication of how God works and where God is working. And there are many other opportunities in this community that you guys know about, that you guys can invite others to be part of by telling
them. Yes.
So how about it? We leave this place today and we go about our way. Let's go and let's tell people. Come.
Let's respond to this morning's message by standing together in a time of worship. We're going to start by, this is our prayer. Lord, I surrender all of my life to you.
All to him.
together. Oh, you don't have any struggles in your life. Your life is perfect. And they don't know that we're not perfect people. And they don't know, we don't have a whole life together. I know there's a past. I have struggles. I don't have all the answers. I don't have my whole life together. And that's what people need to hear is, you know what? I'm just like you. I have struggles just like you have struggles. But you know what? Let me tell you how God is helping through your struggles. And people go, really? You struggle? Really? You don't have all the answers? Really? You don't have your life together? All of a sudden, that expectation, what they thought Christians were about, goes down. They say, so you're just like I am. You know, the other thing I find too at times is that in our own lives, we're trying to follow God. As a pastor, just looking at all the facts, looking at things, and trying to read the church for it, I begin to see things. I say, okay, God, here's what I'm looking at. It's black and white. Here are the figures I'm looking at. God, I don't know. I don't think you'll be done. And I begin to say, God, it's not going to happen. And God says, okay, God, you come. Are you going to trust me and follow me? Or are you going to rely on yourself and your understanding? You see, our success as this church, our success in our Christian life, and our success to bring others to God is the fact that first, we rely on God's promises and who He says He is, and that we're obedient to God and what God has called us to do. And the rest will take care of itself. God promises, He'll be faithful and just, never leave us or forsake us, but we have to be obedient and respond to God's call for our lives. So if we leave this place, let us go. Let us share our story. People who might say to you, why me? Why me? I'm not worthy. Why me? Why are you even talking to me? What's your agenda? What do you want from me? People that are used to that, because they're always used to somebody having agendas. And our agenda is just simply saying, I just want to get to know you and be your friend. I just don't encourage you to strengthen you and tell you what's going on in my life. And all of a sudden people go, okay. And maybe I'll just come. Maybe I'll just the grace and peace of God the Father, the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you now